we know that you speak to us. But unless you fill us with your Holy Spirit, we will not be able to discern and understand. And so, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would touch my tongue and would touch each one of our hearts, so that the words of my mouth and the meditations of each one of our hearts is acceptable to you, our Lord and Savior. Amen. So last Sunday, we examined Jesus' message to the crowds as the one who was sent by his heavenly Father. Jesus wanted the crowd to know that they should be paying attention to him, not because of his own authority, but because of the authority of the one who had sent him. Jesus made it very clear that his mission, his words, even his manner of speaking came completely from his heavenly Father. In other words, Jesus was completely bent in submission to his Father. That was last Sunday. Today, we turn to Jesus' relationship to his disciples. Jesus was very clear that he was their teacher and Lord. And yet, to teach them one of his final lessons before he leaves the earth, he does something stunning for a religious leader to do for his disciples. He bends down and washes their feet one at a time. Now, there are some valuable lessons to be learned from what Jesus did, and even how the disciples responded to Jesus' action. And we are going to look at both of those things today. First, I want you to consider Jesus' actions. Remember, this was one of his last teaching moments to his disciples. In the other Gospels, this setting, this occasion, is where the famous Last Supper incident takes place. In John, while we know that we are at the Last Supper, the details focus not on the food or what they drank, but on the foot washing. Now, foot washing was always something in that culture that happened in the background. It was never the focus, right? I mean, it's like you go to somebody's house and you eat a meal. Yeah, you probably go and wash your hands before you eat it. But the fact that you went and washed your hands was never the focus of the evening, right? I mean, imagine if you went and told somebody, yeah, I had a great party. And you went to great lengths to describe how you just washed your hands. And they would think that you're nuts, right? But the way it happened in this incident was so mind-boggling that this incident of the foot washing became the central event that people talked about through the ages. You see, the way it worked in Jesus' culture, when the guests were invited to a meal and they gathered around the table, the way they ate was a little bit different from the way we eat at tables, right? I mean, we are used to sitting in chairs with the food in front of us, and we sit upright and we eat the meal that is placed before us, right? In Jesus' time, they sat at these long tables, and they didn't sit at chairs, they had these benches where they actually sat with their feet up but folded backwards, and one of their elbows actually leaning on the benches, because the tables they used were very low. And so they would recline to one side, usually reclining to their left, and then they would use their right hand to pick up the food and bring it to their mouth, right? So while all the guests are sitting here and eating in this way, as their feet were dangling outside the benches, then servants who came and served the food would then come behind them, and they would take a towel, dip it in water, and clean their feet off. And the way it was done was that when the people were eating, they knew that this would happen, and so they could continue on the meal without ever looking at the person who was washing their feet. It was something that the servants did, and it was done without interrupting the meal at all. And so the meal carried on, the servants did what they did, and that's how it happened. Right? Now in this case, the way John sets up this story, he begins this narrative by telling us that Jesus knew that all authority in the world had been given to him. In other words, Jesus knew who he was. He knew where he came from and where he was going. He knew that he came from God, and he knew that he was going back to God. And because Jesus was so confident of his identity, he was willing to do something astounding. Jesus takes off his outer garment and then takes a towel, ties it around his waist, and takes a basin of water, dips the towel in the water, and proceeds to wash the disciples' feet. Now, because Jesus was willing to take on this really humble posture of a kneeling servant in front of his disciples who were leading, this it was so mind-boggling to the mindset that the author had to explain that the only reason Jesus was able to do this is because he was very clear about who he was. He was somebody who came from God and was going back to God. The next thing that I want to point out is Jesus was also clear about why he was doing what he was doing. As I described earlier, the foot washing was done traditionally by the servants, and when the servants did it, it went completely unnoticed, right? Nobody would think of it as anything remarkable. When Jesus is the one that's doing the washing, everything changes, right? Because now it's impossible for the disciples to ignore the foot washing, right? Not only can they not ignore it, but that they would never be able to forget what happened for all the days that they live, right? And so this then gives Jesus an incredible teaching moment. And that is precisely why he did what he did. So I want us to enter into this teaching moment just like Jesus' disciples did around that table. I'm going to read out a section, today's section, but from verse 12 to verse 17. After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I'm doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth. Slaves are not greater than their masters, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them." So let's look a little closer at what Jesus is trying to say here. The first thing I want you to note is that Jesus is saying, "I did this for you so that you can follow me." Right? He's doing this for us so that we can imitate him. Now, if you and I are going to follow this, we need to understand this act of Jesus well enough to translate it into our lives and into our world, because literal foot washing of other people's feet is something we almost never do, right? So, I mean, if we are going to imitate this act of Jesus, we need to understand the principles behind what Jesus is trying to get at here. We need to understand the big picture. But to get at the big picture, let me start with the small details. To start with, the first thing that Jesus does is lay down his outer garment. Now, what is the significance of this? Well, remember, the outer garment that they wore in those days was their nice outfit that communicated who they were uniquely and also their status in society. So Jesus, being a rabbi, he would have an outfit that rabbis would use, and people would perhaps even recognize that he was a rabbi just through what he wore. Now, to wash his disciples' feet, however, that outer garment that he was wearing would only come in the way. And so what Jesus had to do was to lay his outer garment down. You see, but also with laying his outer garment down, what Jesus would be communicating is that, you see, this my identity and status, I'm willing to lay this down when it comes between what I need to do to serve you. Alright? But he doesn't just take his outer garment and lay it down. He also then proceeds to take a towel and tie it around his waist and then bend down to the feet of his disciples. In other words, Jesus was, the first thing that he did was take out his rabbi cloak, lay it down, and then take the form of a servant. So the first thing I want you to remember about what Jesus did in this incident is that he lays down his robe that would have normally conferred him honor in that culture, and then he takes on a garment that would give him the posture of a servant. But there's more. You see, when you get near people's feet, you are now getting near the smelly parts of their body, right? You see, particularly in those days when people walked everywhere with open sandals, on dirt roads and in crowded cities, believe me, their feet would have got real dirty. You know, I mean, it's hard for us to imagine this in North America, where everything is relatively really clean. But if you have lived in some other country, whether it's like India or Haiti or, you know, some other parts of the world where, you know, you have densely packed crowded cities where it's really dirty, and you walked around with open sandals, you know, your feet were going to get really dirty, right? And that's why even if you took a bath in the morning and you walked that journey and went to somebody's house, no matter what bath you took and how much of soap you used, your feet would be dirty by the time you got to your destination, right? Now, this is something that Jesus knew when he got down to wash his disciples' feet, right? He knew that he was going to get to the smelliest parts of his disciples, but he was willing to go there and get himself messy when he washed his disciples' feet. So when Jesus washed his disciples' feet, you know, the first thing he did is he lays down his robes that signified that he was a rabbi. He takes on the posture of a servant, and he was even willing to get himself dirty in the process of washing their feet. Now, there's a third aspect of Jesus' act that has to be mentioned. You see, any act can be done in all kinds of ways, right? You can rush over something to get it done quickly, or you can do it by maintaining as big a distance as possible, or you can do it holding your nose and being rude about it, right? Like as if you are forced to do something that you really don't want to do. I don't know if you identify with this, but there are times in my life where I've probably done things in all of these three ways, right? But in Jesus' case, we don't really need to guess how he did this act of washing his disciples' feet, because our passage is introduced itself by the author with these words. He describes this of Jesus. He says, he had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. And what it's trying to tell us is that we can be sure that even as Jesus was taking on the form of a servant and dealing with the physically dirtiest parts of his disciples, Jesus was washing his disciples' feet with great love. Three aspects of Jesus' act that I want us to ponder. To serve his disciples, Jesus, confident enough in his own identity, was willing to, for a period of time, lay down his outer garb, take on the form and posture of the lowest of servants of his time. Secondly, to clean the dirt off his disciples' feet, he was willing to get dirty himself. And thirdly, even as Jesus did something that would have been very unpleasant, you can be sure that he did it with great love. Jesus embraced his act of service as an act of love from his heart to their heart. Jesus' act of washing his disciples' feet was a beautiful and moving act on an even different level from Mary's beautiful act of wiping Jesus' feet with her hair, because this time it was their teacher and Lord who was doing the washing. Jesus conveyed a willingness to lay down his own self to recognize and serve the needs of his servants, his disciples. But just as we learn from what Jesus did, we also need to learn from what the disciples did in response to Jesus' actions. Because as we examine the disciples' response, we also get to reflect on where we are in the story, right? And thankfully, we have a very vocal disciple in the form of Peter, in whom we can see ourselves. So let's look at Apostle Peter's response to Jesus' act. So Peter's first reaction to Jesus was, "No way, Jesus, you will never ever wash my feet." Right? Now why did he say that? Now I'm going to go boldly into Peter's mind and conjecture for you. Because Peter was saying that, "Jesus, you are my Lord and teacher, and bending down to wash my feet makes me really uncomfortable. So please don't do that." You see, you have to remember that this was an honor-shame culture, right? And in an honor-shame culture, touching the feet of a person meant touching that aspect of a person that had the least honor. And when you touch that part of the person that has least honor, you are telling that person that my honor is the same as that part of you which has the least honor. And so in some ways, it is telling this other person that your honor is much greater than my honor. Right? And so this is what is communicated by Jesus washing the feet of his disciples in an honor-shame culture. And Peter is saying, Jesus, that makes me really uncomfortable. I am not going to let you lower your honor to that level if I can do anything about it. That's why he says, Peter, Jesus, you are not going to wash my feet. Right? Now to that, Jesus has a very, very interesting response. Jesus tells him, well, if you don't let me wash your feet, you have no part to play in my ministry. Well, a pretty shocking response to Peter, right? This is also a pretty big condition that Jesus is laying down for his disciples, right? If you don't let me wash your feet, you're not going to have any part in my ministry. Now, if this is such a big condition, how come we never talk about this when we talk about, understanding where people spiritually are when we meet them, right? As sometimes we talk to them, when we meet people, we ask people if they have accepted Christ into their life or if they are saved, you know, things like that, just to get a sense of where they are. But have you ever asked anybody, has Jesus ever washed your feet? It's not something we ask, right? I'm glad actually our youth pastor Abraham, talked about it in those terms in the worship leading this morning. But it's really not something that we ask people. Has Jesus ever washed your feet? Because if that's Jesus' condition, then why do we not talk about it? But, you know, we need to understand, what is Jesus actually referring to? What did he mean? So let's just unpack the meaning of Jesus' condition to Peter. You see, what Jesus was saying is that if you don't let me serve you, you are not going to be able to be part of my ministry. Because Jesus is saying that by serving Jesus, by Jesus serving Peter, Jesus was pouring love onto Peter in a very unique and powerful way. And what Jesus wanted Peter to do was receive his love. Because when Peter received Jesus' love, that would then give Peter a capacity then to love other people just as Jesus had loved Peter. And so if Peter did not let Jesus wash his feet, he would have not received the kind of love that Jesus wanted to give. And if he had never received Jesus' love, he would never be able to love anybody like Jesus did. And he would be useless for the ministry that Jesus had in mind. Right? And so what Jesus is telling Peter is that if you cannot receive my love, then you cannot be part of my ministry because you will not have the capacity to love anybody. So you become useless in my eyes. Right? Because just a few verses down in verse 34, Jesus says this, I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. And so Jesus is telling Peter, you cannot have a part in my ministry till I have washed your feet. Because my ministry is all about loving people with the love that you have received from me. If you haven't received that love, you cannot be part of my ministry. So now, knowing that Apostle Peter is the over-the-top guy, he's always going overboard, you know, he then tells Jesus, hey Jesus, okay, in that case, I want you to wash my whole body, right? Wash my head and my body and my legs and wash everything, Jesus. And so what does Jesus do? Jesus, in response to that, says, Peter, hey Peter, take a chill pill. He says, you don't need your whole body washed, Peter. You see, what Jesus was telling Peter is this. Peter, you don't need to teach me how to love. Okay? Jesus knows what is appropriate in love and what is not. Jesus knows the right way to show love. And if you want to be used by Jesus, don't tell Jesus how to love you. Just receive the love that he has for you. Let it wash all over you. Let it cleanse you and transform you. And then that love will flow into others, and you will be in a position to do the ministry that Jesus wants you to do. So what does this act of Jesus mean for us as his disciples who are called to carry his ministry to the world? Well, step one is asking ourselves if we truly can declare that we have experienced the love of Christ in our own lives. A lot of people go to church and listen to sermons regularly, but it does not automatically translate to meaning that they have fully received the love of Christ in the form of the forgiveness of their sins, in the form of the incredible grace that operates in our lives. You know, receiving anything is not easy. It's not easy to receive even from God because our pride gets in the way. You see? But to let Christ wash our feet means to let Christ stoop into the lowest parts and points of our life and to allow Christ to take on the dirt that's in our lives. And then to allow Christ to wipe us clean with his dry towel. And you see, if Christ has done this for you, then you cannot but help do this for the other people that Christ will put in your lives. And when you are ready then to wash somebody else's feet, it starts with what Jesus did. It starts with laying down our position and our rights and taking on the posture of a servant. It also means being willing to deal with somebody else's dirt. And you know, when you deal with somebody else's dirt, some of that dirt gets on you. It also means wiping off someone else's dirt with a great love. You see, Jesus washed the feet of his 12. So that they could be made into servant leaders of the people that Jesus was praying for in his ministry. Jesus wanted his disciples to become servant leaders like himself so that he could then impact the world through them, to transform the world through the love that he had poured onto his disciples. So my prayer today for all of us is that we will not keep Jesus waiting, but allow him to wash our feet completely so that we can then in turn pour that love out to the people around us, the people that Jesus gives to us in the ministry that he calls us to. So may he make each one of us servant leaders like himself. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you for what you've done for us, Lord. You've done so many things. And sometimes we think of what you did on the cross for us, but sometimes it's easier to think of you dying on the cross because that's distant and that's far. It's more difficult for us to think about you washing our feet. It's terribly humbling, O Lord. But it's also an act of love whose height and depth and width is hard for us to comprehend. But I pray, O Lord, that each one of us will, in our life's journey, get a deeper and deeper understanding and comprehension of your love towards each one of us. So that by that love that overflows in our own lives, we may be able to pour that love onto the people that you bring into our lives, so that we may serve them, and the way we serve them draw many people to you. So bless each one of us, O Lord, and use us individually and together as a body to be your servants, to bless this hurting and dark world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.